Love. Is it in the air? Well, with Valentine's Day around the corner, you may be led to believe this is so. With all the commercials for roses, chocolate-dipped strawberries, candy, cards, and generally red and pink things all over at our stores, it is a great time of the year, is it not? And romantic love may very well be in store for you. Or maybe not. Either way, today. Today, Jesus shows us all what love is. He shows us that we fail at it, actually. Yet that in the forgiveness of sins, in the resurrection of the dead, God's love for you through Christ is perfect. For in Jesus, sinners are forgiven and the dead are raised. Do not weep. Do not weep, for in Christ you are forgiven and you are given new life. Amen. As soft and gushy as it sometimes looks and sounds, love is actually the basis for the law. Love God and love your neighbor. That is the sum total of the law. When it comes to your neighbor, this means you must protect them and preserve their lives in all possible ways, whether they are neighbors near or far. That is love, and that is the law. Yet whether your name is Mother Teresa, a famous lover of her neighbor, or Mike Tyson, perhaps not so much, whether your name is Don Juan or maybe even St. Valentinius himself, when it comes to love, you have not met the mark. Your neighbors are still dying, after all. And I know that does not sound like a very fair test of love, does it? What can we do about this? And that is the question that comes to us in our text. What are we to do when death is around the corner? Or even when it has already arrived? What does love do then? Well, we catch up with Jesus in a couple of challenging situations. My seminary professors would say that you'll know whether you are a pastor or not when you first sit with the dying and with those at the grave. For what comes out of your mouth will either be law or gospel. It will either be a moralism or a promise. It will either be death or life. Jesus gets word that there is a centurion whose servant, whose slave, is very sick, and this is a servant whom he loves very much. Now, you probably know this, but I'll let you know, if you don't, that a centurion is a commander in the Roman army, a commander of a century of soldiers or 100 soldiers. Centurions pledge their allegiance to the Caesar, and so generally they are hated by the Israelites. But strangely, this centurion, the one we meet in Luke this morning, is commended by his Jewish neighbors to Jesus as one who was supportive of them, one who built their synagogue. This centurion, I'm told, is also, by the way, a main character in Bethel's upcoming drama, The Choice, which is coming in a month or so. Jesus hears that his centurion is sick and on the verge of death, and so he goes, because this is what Jesus does. He goes. But before he can get to the centurion's house, as we have heard this morning, the centurion has sent friends to block him off, to say, don't come all the way. And the centurion has a message to give Jesus. It is this: I'm not worthy for you to come into my house. But I know that if you say the word, my servant will be healed. Because I'm a man, the centurion says, who has a word with authority. I tell my soldiers, go, and they go. I tell my servants to do something, and they do it. Whatever I say, they do. Now, if you've ever been in the military, you know this is actually how it works, for the most part. When the commander says, do something, you do it, right? Sit, you sit. Get up, you get up. This is actually how it is in the military. But what about in life and in death? Who has such authority here? Only one. It is Jesus. And so the centurion confesses that Jesus need only say one word, and his servant would be healed. Upon hearing this message, Jesus exclaims to the crowd around him, "Never in all of Israel have I seen such faith," and from a Roman soldier, no less. And the centurion's friends, when they return to his house, find that this servant, the slave, has been healed. Where human love had reached its limit, the care and authority of God's word in Jesus Christ prevailed. Jesus didn't even have to be there, but his word went out and accomplished what it set out to do. It brought new life. Next, Jesus crosses paths with a funeral parade. A widow had just lost her only son, and this was strike one and strike two for a woman whose economic future was in dire straits. Yet Jesus had compassion for her, Luke says, and the Greek for compassion actually means his gut moved. He felt for her in the pit of his stomach. Maybe your stomach has moved in compassion for people that you have seen in need or situations where something was needed. And so Jesus says to her, "Do not weep," which are not the first words that come to mind for most pastors when caring for those grieving the loss of loved ones. But Jesus says, "Do not weep." And next he takes a hold of the platform on which the dead young man was laying, and he speaks to this young man, this dead boy, and says, "Young man, I say to you, rise." And the young man sits up and begins to speak. And Jesus gives him to his mother. An image of true love? Well, not for the crowd. For they were terrified, Luke tells us, and you can perhaps imagine why. Thinking that they had just seen what we would call a real-life episode of The Walking Dead, they were scared. They didn't know what to do. But pretty soon, Luke says they glorified God, realizing what kind of authority had just been exercised in their midst. You see, God's word does not just give some life to the dead so that they can move about in a halfway living, halfway dead state. We do not have a halfway God. We have an all the way kind of God. And he takes all of your sin and gives to you all true eternal life and perfect salvation. It is true that on the week of Valentine's Day, and really every week of the year, we are called to love. We are called to love our neighbors. And this love can take many forms. But while our love at its best will preserve and protect our neighbor's life, it cannot give new life. We are called to preserve our neighbors precisely so that they too can hear this word of God through Jesus Christ as well, which will do for them what our love and our law cannot. It will take away their sins and give to them eternal life. Around this time of year, I often remember a little snippet. It sticks in the back of my head from the TV show The Simpsons. It's Valentine's Day, and Bart's sister, Lisa, has her heart set on giving and receiving her Valentine's Day cards to the more eligible suitors in her elementary school class. Yet when she sees her pitiable classmate, Ralph, and if you've ever watched The Simpsons, you know that Ralph is depicted as pitiable. And he has, poor guy, no Valentine's Day cards at his desk. She sees him, and she has compassion for him. And she quickly takes one of her cards and erases one of the names and puts Ralph's name on it, and she gives him this card, and he opens it, his only Valentine's Day card, and it has a drawing of a locomotive, a steam locomotive, with puffs of steam coming out of the stack, and it says, "I choo-choo-choose you. I choo-choo-choose you." Kind of lame, you might think, maybe typical school Valentine's Day card, but so it is now for you. You may have all sorts of dreams of love and success in this life based on your, no doubt, wise and calculated choices. You may have loved your neighbors with the best of them, from Mother Teresa to Don Juan. But know now that your love and your choices, while they have value here for your neighbor, certainly, they are of no eternal value. For out of pure compassion, God chooses you. And that is the true choice in this life now. God chooses you. Apart from your successes and apart from your failures in love and the law. And while it seems like an unlikely choice, one that you didn't even see coming, and believe me, it seems even more unlikely for God, but he chooses you. For you have already died in your baptism. The word of Christ has come to you, and he takes away your sin. And he raises you now to eternal life, along with all of your loved ones in Christ. For Jesus does his best work. His best work now is not just on Valentine's Day, but it's in the grave, the day of your death, raising the dead. In your grave, raising you, even today. Amen. I invite you to stand as you are able as we sing our hymn of the day.